After the longest government shutdown in American history, lawmakers in Washington are working to pass a spending bill to keep the government from shutting down again. I'm joined now by Democratic Congressman from the 18th District, Sean Patrick Maloney. Welcome back, Congressman. How are you?
I'm great. Good to be with you.
So what's going on today in Washington?
Well, we're waiting to see if the president signs the compromise bill that's been worked out by both parties in both houses. If he does, we move forward. If he doesn't, it's going to be chaos and shutdown.
Yeah. This bill isn't perfect for either side. There are some major policy considerations left out. What is aggravating to you?
Not much. I think you're going to see, a very large number of Democrats support this. I think you'll have a handful who have concerns about not having a tighter grip on the ability to detain people and our failure to properly prioritize who we're detaining for deportation. Those kinds of issues. But on the big issue, whether we're putting the right resources towards the right kind of border security, it's a pretty good deal.
The president has said that he wants to explore options like declaring a national emergency at the southern border. What do you see as the emergency at the southern border, if anything? And would you call a national emergency to solve that problem?
Look, the president's playing a political game with this. It's disgraceful when you consider the real implications of what he's talking about. If you go scrounging for unallocated funds, you're talking about, for example, $250 million that has been appropriated for construction at West Point for, among other things, a new cemetery. So if you want to tell me that it's more important to raid those funds for the cemetery at West Point, for the research buildings we're doing there, for the cadet barracks, and direct that money that has not been appropriated by the Congress towards whatever project he's currently talking about, it's just a losing argument, and it's a dumb idea. And it's opposed by members of his own political party, by members of the military. No one supports this except the president. And look, it's because we have already appropriated billions of dollars for border security. They have not spent. Most people don't know we've already built hundreds of miles of physical barriers at the border before Donald Trump ever became president. And there are some additional things we should do. But the big work is on figuring out our legal ports of entry, right number of loading bays, more inspections of trucks, better X-ray capabilities, the kinds of things that will actually intercept fentanyl being disguised in vehicles. I oversee the Coast Guard subcommittee. We have a lot of questions to ask about the resources we're putting against the threat of drug smuggling on the water. The Coast Guard does great work, but we could resource it better. Those are real conversations about border security. By the way, a lot of us don't want to forget that this conversation also needs to include a solution for the Dreamers, real immigration reform that helps our farmers and our high-tech businesses. Things like temporary protected status for hundreds of thousands of people who are at real risk if we kick them out of the country.
Absolutely.
It's a broader conversation, and we need to get to that, too.
So you don't agree that this is in need of somebody calling it a national emergency?
Look, I don't know what that means. We have created a humanitarian situation by ending what is pejoratively called catch and release, and by trying to detain people permanently and then, because of other restrictions separating them from their children. That was the crisis we created by a policy shift of this administration. There were better solutions to address that problem, like resourcing more administrative law judges, electronic monitoring, ankle bracelets. There's lots of ways to address those issues. They created a humanitarian problem. We do have economic migrants and asylum seekers, organizing into caravans, but they're not doing anything illegal. They're presenting themselves at ports of entry. We just need to resource that issue and obey our laws. So when you ask about a crisis, illegal crossings are way down. Drug interdictions are moving in the right direction and are largely an issue at the ports of entry. And I've talked about that. So look, you're talking about a political declaration by the president. You're talking about what amounts to a declaration of failure. And everybody needs to understand the guy could have had a much better deal for the things he says he wants back in December without any of this nonsense.
So
he got a worse deal, hurt a bunch of innocent people, and has held us up for 3 months.
So the federal government shutdown, did it impact your district? And if so, how?
Yeah, you bet. I mean, it means that the TSA agents who do the work at the airports weren't getting paid. It means that people at West Point weren't getting paid. A lot of some of the workers there. It means that you know the Coast Guard guys who are doing missions on the Hudson River weren't getting paid. You know, a young man was killed in Alaska who was from Mayo Pack, New York. 35 years old, has been in the Coast Guard for 17 years. He wasn't getting paid, and lost his life in an accident in Homer, Alaska, a couple weeks back. Those families were seriously disrupted for no reason. And all the people who need the government working for them on things like small business loans and their tax returns and everything else were getting screwed out of the services their taxes are paying for. The whole thing was a disgrace and unnecessary.
I wanted to switch gears for a minute to something that has been talked about here in New York as well as in Washington, and that's the Green New Deal. It's been proposed by one of your fellow members of the New York delegation, Ocasio-Cortez. Are you in favor of that bill?
Yes, I'm an original co-sponsor. It's not a bill, it's a resolution, but I know what you mean. And I applaud them for setting an ambitious goal and saying we need to tackle this problem.
New York has something that's also called a Green New Deal, and it's also a proposal, not a bill. But we had the New York Independent System Operator on last week talking about their carbon pricing proposal. Do you see that fitting in with efforts to enact a Green New Deal, either at the state level or the federal level?
Well, I've introduced legislation to price carbon. I believe it's part of the solution, and I think that it's not the whole solution, but it's an important and scalable effort to really set the right price in the market on fossil-based sources and to, and to properly enable competition with renewable and zero-carbon emission sources. So I think it's part of the solution. I think there's a political issue with that, obviously, but I've introduced legislation that would do it.
Yeah, the president knocked Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez's legislation as socialist. How did you hear that? Are you concerned about that? The name calling, or that the Democratic Party is moving too far left?
Look, I mean, what I think the president is saying about this is incoherent. If you look at the attacks on a lot of the things we now take for granted, from Medicare to Social Security, they were called socialist. Socialism is a defined term. It does not mean every time you try to give better health care at lower cost to people, it's socialism. What it means is that they don't have a plan of their own, either on healthcare or on climate change. Most of them are still denying it, for God's sakes. And when you ask them what their alternative to the Green Deal is, they start throwing out words like socialism because they don't have a plan.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is we're setting an ambitious goal, and we should all have a robust debate about how to get there, and that's fair. And if people want to express concerns about, undermining wealth creation in America or the incentive system in a capitalist economy, boy, that's a fair debate. But you can't come to the table with nothing and just throw around a bunch of stupid terms and name-calling and expect that to be an intelligent conversation.
I'm not sure if the Con Ed moratorium is taking place in your district. The issue here is that there is not enough. What Con Ed says is that there's not enough infrastructure to get needed natural gas to Westchester. And so they're calling a moratorium on actually, getting any gas to new buildings. So should we continue to build out, is the question, with natural gas infrastructure, even though we're moving toward renewables?
Yeah, look, in any plan, even an ambitious one, you're going to have a continued reliance on certain fossil fuel sources. The question is whether you're transitioning rapidly and in time to do you some good, and whether your net carbon emissions are moving down rapidly, and you're scaling up the rest. So, of course, there's going to be new energy infrastructure. I'm not speaking now about any particular project, but yeah, you bet. We continue to need energy infrastructure, and one of the challenges we have to take on as co-sponsors of the Green New Deal, those of us who believe in it, is to say, here's how we're going to maintain economic growth and prosperity as we transition to zero emissions by 2050. That's the challenge, is to do both.
We are out of time. I want to thank you very much. Hudson Valley Representative Sean Patrick Maloney, it's been such a pleasure.
Thank you.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by the New York State AFL-CIO. 2.5 million members speaking with one voice to ensure a better life for working men and women. Information at nysaflcio.org.